There was an Irish satirist named Jonathan Swift who wrote the book Gulliver's Travels. He is not the subject of this episode. Instead, we're going to tell you the story of another man named Jonathan Swift, an Englishman who had a heck of a life back in the days before the settlers came to Appalachia, and who has a legend that's followed him for over 250 years. Hello, folks. I'm Steve Gilley, along with Rod Mullins, who, by the way, has a personal connection to this story.
Oh, okay.
This is Stories, A History of Appalachia.
Well, Steve, you scared me. Now that you said I have a personal connection to this, I thought we were going to talk about Jonathan Swift, the writer back from Ireland who wrote things like A Modest Proposal in addition to Gulliver's Travels, which we won't get into. But we can say that at least this Irish satirist Jonathan Swift and this Englishman Jonathan Swift both kept journals. But I'll tell you, the one that we're getting ready to talk about is talking about Swift's silver mine. And this is something that has gone on for 250 years and still hasn't been solved as of this day.
And this story is one that anyone who's had anything to do with Appalachian history and Appalachian folklore has told. In fact, Rod, you told this story not long after we started this podcast, right? But there have been some new things that have come up since then that we're going to add to this to tell about.
Yeah, and I was going to interject too, if you don't mind, all of these different things that have, you know, people have talked about this for years and years and years, and there are people even that are not even associated much with the story that interject their own ideas as to how this could have possibly happened. So you've got a lot of stuff out there to disseminate and be able to go through about this particular story.
They say Mr. Swift came to the colonies from England sometime in the early 1700s. Now, we don't know what he did over there across the waters, but here he decided that he wanted to roam about this new land he now called home. And he went everywhere, eventually ending up in what's now Kentucky. Swift himself used to brag that he made it to the bluegrass state before Daniel Boone, and further, he happened to have found something that old Daniel didn't. The story, as recounted by Jonathan Swift himself in his journal, goes like this. One day as he was out roaming in the woods, he happened upon a wounded bear. The bear, seeing him, decided it would be wise of him to find a place to hide, you know, being wounded and all. Well, Swift followed the bear as he headed for shelter and safety, which just happened to be in a cave in the mountains. Swift went into the cave and soon lost interest in that hurt bear because he found something much more interesting, didn't he, Rod?
Yes, he did, Steve, and he didn't find bats either. No, he found silver. And not just any silver. No, sir. What Jonathan Swift found in that old cave was nothing less than a vein of the purest silver ever found in these mountains. So Swift did what he thought best to do. He started to mine that mother lode. Well, according to his journal, Swift mined the silver every year for the next 9 years. And he didn't just dig out the ore, he actually processed it right there in the cave, making silver bars and even minting his own silver coins to take back with him when he was done. According to an article in Harper's Magazine in 1886, Swift hid his precious metal in various places until he was ready to finally make his way back to civilization.
John Swift said he made silver in large quantities, burying some $30,000 in crowns on a large creek, $15,000 a little way off near some trees, which were duly marked, a prize of $6,000 close by the fork of a white oak, and $3,000 in the rocks of a rock house, all which, in the light of these notes, it is allowed anyone who will to hunt for.
Well, he would have stayed more than 9 years mining that silver, but he had some issues, especially with the hired help, along with those Native Americans who had a problem with Swift digging and smelting ore on their land. After several attacks from Indians and a mutiny by his crew, Swift decided to head back east. He hid the last of his silver in the cave and then walled it up and headed out, intending to return the next year and continue with a fresh crew, then bring his loot home with him where he could settle down to a life of leisure as a rich man.
On his way out of the mountains, he passed through Bean Station in Tennessee, where he entrusted his journal to a friend, named Mrs. Renfro. Funny how they never write down any woman's first name, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was the widow of Joseph Renfro of Bean Station, and they say quite close to Mr. Swift. Then he made his way back to Virginia. Well, sometime over the next year, it said, Jonathan Swift was stricken blind by an unknown illness, and even though he tried, he was unable to find the location of the mine, nor was he able to tell anybody else how to get there. He never returned to that mine or the fortune in silver. So, you might be asking us right now, where in the world could that mine be? Well, glad you asked, because there's lots of legends about that. So, Rod, why don't you start with Big Stone Gap, Virginia?
Yeah, let's start with Big Stone Gap, Virginia. It's said that the mine was located to the southwest of the town going toward Lee County, on or around Stone Mountain. At least, that's what the early settlers in Wise County believed. And it's even said that there was the notorious Chief Benji, or Benj, however you want to call it, take your pick, knew exactly where that mine was. According to the story, Benj once said that,
"If the Paleface knew what he knew, they could shoe their horses cheaper with silver than with iron."
Well, supposedly, a captured settler by the name of Hans G. Frenchman was taken to the mines by the Cherokee, and he marked it so it could be found again, and then revealed the location to the blind Swift. Well, it's said that they returned together to the mine and took enough silver to buy two horses, intending to return, but they never did because they weren't able to find it when they came back. Now, there's another story about Swift being taken to the mine by a Frenchman named Monde, as opposed to a man by the name of Frenchman. So, you see, we kind of got a little bit of a dispute there of, was it a Frenchman or was it someone else? Well, we now know that, at least by this story, it's Monde. They are attacked by the Indians while there and are driven away. Swift, apparently not blind in this story, kills Monde, the Frenchman, to keep the secret of the mine all to himself. When he returns, he's unable to find the mine, Steve.
Now, probably the most well-known story about Swift's silver mine involves a fellow named Solomon Mullins. And, Rod, I'm going to let you tell this part for obvious reasons.
Old money-making Sol, as he was called. Solomon Mullins, who was born around 1782 in a place called Holly Creek, but now we know it as Clintwood in Virginia. The story says that old Solomon discovered Swift's mine near Pine Mountain, probably in what is now the Brakes Interstate Park in Dickinson County and also borders into Kentucky into Pike County. Well, Solomon, also known, as I mentioned, Money-Making Sol, took the silver that Swift had mined and melted it down so that his slaves could strike it for him, making a coin. He then would take those coins and go to a cave up in the cliffs above Sol's farm to take them, well, take his time, I should say, to mark his counterfeit coins so that you couldn't tell them from the real thing. These cliffs, by the way, are also known as Sol's Cliffs. Now, it's said that Sol's counterfeit money was better than the real thing. That sounds like somebody else of another relative I know, but it wasn't that good. I don't know, but they say that Sol's counterfeit money was better than the real thing, since it had more silver in it and was thus worth more than the coin struck by Uncle Sam. Now, he never disclosed where he got the pure silver from that he used for his money making. In 1837, Sol Mullins and two of his children were tried on counterfeiting charges. Money-Making Sol pleaded guilty but managed to escape and flee Virginia before he was sentenced. He died in 1858, taking the secret of the silver mine to his grave.
There are several other places supposed to be the location of Swift's silver mine, including Clear Creek and a place in Bell County in Kentucky. There's also a man who claimed in 2019 to have found the mine site, or at least where the mine's silver was stockpiled, alongside a highway across from a scenic overlook in Lincoln County, Kentucky. William Sharp says he's melted some of the ore down and actually got some silver. He also says he found an old cartwheel, a drill bit, and the word mine carved into a rock at that location. Wolf County, Kentucky is the site for an annual Swift Silver Mine Festival in the county seat of Compton, where a historic road marker claims Swift had a campsite where the county courthouse stands today.
Okay. A lot of other stories with this, too. There are stories that it did exist in Pine Mountain. At one point, there were people that found it. They also, how can I say this? They discovered it in kind of a little pond, lake, or something inside there in the cave. They dove down. They were actually able to come back up on another side of the cave that had been flooded or the water had collected in. And they found sacks, supposedly, of silver money, just in sacks, like crazy. Then they went back, supposedly, and they took some people back, and I think they kind of engineered something like a, I don't know, a hose or something to where they could breathe, go under the rock or go down under in the water and come back up on the other side of where that location was that I'd already told you about of finding the sacks of the silver. There is a story that says that when the people got back there, there wasn't any. It was gone. That somebody else had found it, took it out of there. Now, here's another story that goes out of this.
Before you get into that, okay, I want to ask.
All right, go ahead.
Now, if you go in and you find a sack full of silver, would you not just go in and take it out with you? At least take a few coins out.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do. Yeah. If I could actually, you know, if it wasn't so heavy that I could get out of there with it, you know, and we're talking underwater or, you know, even across land. If it wasn't so heavy, yeah, I'd take a sack of it. I'm not, beggars can't be choosers. When you find this stuff, what are you going to do with it? Take off with it.
Or at least take a few coins out.
Yeah, take a few coins out or something. But, you know, here's another story that kind of goes along with this. And we've talked about before on the podcast, and for those that are not familiar with me talking about this, my great-great-grandfather was known as Brandy Jack Mullins, Andrew Jackson Mullins. He was a counterfeiter. There was always stories that said that he got his silver from Swift Silver Mine. Not true. He did not. From what I understand, he got his silver from stealing from other people's silver, finding utensils and different things like that, and also blending it and mixing it with what they called, it's jeweler's silver, or not jeweler's silver, dentist silver, what they would use to, you know, fill up cavities back in the old days and stuff with, and they still do to some degree, but, you know, there's not as much silver in it. But they said that, you know, this money was even better. Well, it wasn't as good when it came to how much it was worth as it was assayed. That goes back to counterfeit and Saul. But Brandy Jack got sent up the creek. He had a trial in Abingdon. Then he was sent to Albany, New York. Now, this was around the time after the Civil War. And when he got sent up there, he watched his own nephew die because his nephew had been involved in counterfeiting, going back to counterfeit and Saul. So they were all kind of related into this whole thing. He never told where he put his molds or anything like that. So we don't really know what happened after that. The last thing I want to tell you is I had a chance to talk with a UVA Wise professor. He was a, you know, practically he's like a geologist. He's in the science department or was in the science department. And he and I talked about it. I said, is there any way possible, any way that there was ever silver in these mountains at one time or another? He said it would have to be one of these strange, really strange anomalies for silver to be found here, because most of this land is sedimentary rock. Now, you wouldn't find silver in sedimentary rock, but what's to say that something could have happened in one part of the land, you know, like, well, some parts of Tennessee, some parts of North Carolina. You know, you go into North Carolina, you find gemstones. You know, I mean, you know, this stuff can be found all over the place, but you don't really find that up in this part of the country, up in Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee, and some of these places. And so that would kind of be rare. So, you know, it's still, we're almost still at a point where it's still a mystery as to Swift Silver Mine and whether it existed or not. Now, you know, I've even seen pictures of, someone showed me something that looked like Spanish doubloons or doubloons or whatever you call them, doubloons. And you look at them and you say, gosh, that's wild. That's nice looking, but you don't know where they came from. And were they molded, made out of something else? Because You can't lay a hand on them and touch them or anything. You're just kind of left to guess, is this really, you know, some of those coins left over? We may never solve this mystery. I don't care how many times you might bring a Robert Stack and Unsolved Mysteries case into this area to try to solve something. I don't think it's going to happen because there's just too many wide open gaps in some of this stuff as to the history of this. Oh, and I'm about to forget one other thing, too. Did you ever hear the story of the woman in black?
I've heard several stories about the woman in black. Which one are you talking about?
Okay. Well, this is the one about, supposedly, they said that Brandy Jack got his silver from Swift Silver Mine, which I said wasn't true, but or at least that's what I've been told. It's not true. But he was getting silver from somewhere down in Clay County, Kentucky. Now, that's all I know. Clay County, Kentucky. And a woman who was shrouded in black would come up every so often. I don't know how, you know, what the time interval was, but she would ride in on horseback and she would make her, you know, delivery to Brandy Jack, supposedly, and then she would leave. Come back again, you know, maybe a month or two later, bring back more silver. Now, the stories of the woman in black and they're shrouded and everything, yeah, that could have happened, but we still don't know a whole lot more about whether or not Brandy Jack really got his silver from there. It could have been leftovers. We don't know. But I know that Counterfeit and Saul did not hold in high regard Brandy Jack's money because the quote was, I think, in the Mullins family history book, Counterfeit and Saul said that Brandy Jack's money looked queer to him. That was the comment. So that's all we know about it. It wasn't as good as maybe what Counterfeit and Saul was making, but who knows? He could have been getting that stash out of Pine Mountain or somewhere else and walking away with it and making some money out of it.
You know, this is a legend that's akin to other legends in America, like Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth, mm-hmm. the seven cities of Cibola that are supposedly made out of gold out in the plains, things mm-hmm. like that. So Appalachia's own American legend, Swift Silver Mine.
Well, hey, don't forget, too, you know, we're talking silver here. You know, they talked, too, at one point or another that there was gold in this part of the country, that there was gold that had been brought in by the Spanish and deposited in the mountains, so to speak, in kind of a triangular area. And, you know, they have found signs of old Spanish forts and so forth. I think they found one down about Newport, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, and one over in North Carolina. So there's no, you know, question there that there was some of these forts. Supposedly the story was that they were coming in here the same way that some of these people, when they left England and so forth, these Spanish, these soldiers, they were coming in here and they were going to get their gold and silver because the New World held these kind of treasures for people to be able to take. And some of them they found, some of them they didn't.
And that's the tale of Swift Silver Mine. Another bit of the history and the folklore of this place we call home, Appalachia. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Stories Podcast at our website, storiesofappalachia.com, at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on many other podcast apps. Good luck in your hunt for Swift Silver Mine, podcast listeners.
Hey, and send us an email and also tell us how much of a cut we're going to get.
Ha 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 ha!